This is the time of year when a lot of us are looking for a thrill, a good scary story just in time for Halloween. Well, Petra Mayer of NPR Books joins us now with a few stories. Petra, welcome back.
Hi, happy to be here.
So you're here to recommend some scary books, but we hear you've also been deeply scared by a couple of books. Can you tell us what happened?
Yeah. So I was maybe 7 or 8, and my family was staying in a house on Nantucket, and I happened to find a copy of Stephen King's Cujo. And I was one of those kids who'd read anything with words. Like, I would read medicine bottles if I was bored enough, so of course I read Cujo, and I really should not have. Because if you don't know that book, it's about a rabid St. Bernard that kills people. So for years afterward, I'd like flip out if a dog so much as licked my hand. So that was Cujo. But then also a few years later, I came across one of those old Time Life Enchanted World books. And, you know, a lot of those are creepy. Mm-hmm. But the one that I had was called Ghosts. And I know, like, people of a certain age out there are nodding their heads right now because the cover has this freaky painting of a faceless demonic knight who somehow still has a big waxed mustache. And he's carting off a terrified maiden. And that whole book is just way more scary than it had to be. It had terrifying illustrations all the way through, or at least I remember it being that way, because I don't know, I put that book away 30 years ago and refused to look at it again. It's too scary.
Well, Petra, one of these days we're going to have to bond over Cujo. I actually am scarred for life over that storyline.
Yeah,
too.
Yeah. So,
well, let's move on to your recommendations, starting with a book that's actually called Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark. It's by Alvin Schwartz, and it sounds promising. Tell us more.
Yeah, well, so continuing the theme of things that terrified people my age when we were kids, this is one of the classics, but it's not so much the stories, which are pretty much, you know, standard campfire scares and urban legends. This is crucial. You have to have either the original edition or the version that came out maybe 5 years ago, because those are the ones with the, like, absolute nightmare fuel illustrations by Stephen Gamel, who won a Caldecott in his other life as a kids book illustrator. But the illustrations he did for Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark are just horrifying. They're black and white, they're ink, they're maybe watercolor, and they're like scratchy and blotted and corrupted and rotting and horrifying as anything you'll ever see on paper. They actually reissued this book in 2007 with cutesy illustrations by Brett Hellquist, who's mostly known, I think, for doing the Series of Unfortunate Events books. And there was such an outcry that the publisher actually brought back the Gamel illustrations from the new edition. So, yeah, Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark, but only with the original illos.
Oh, okay. You also have a graphic novel you want to tell us about.
Yeah, this is an absolutely gorgeous book that will just send shivers down your spine. It is Through the Woods by Emily Carroll. It's black and white, it's bloody red and icy blue and a little shocking yellow, and just the visuals alone will kind of make you feel like you're trapped in a little house in the woods and there's something terrible either just outside the door or maybe in the house with you. The stories are original, but she wrote them, but they have that sort of creaky, arcane feeling that stories can have when they've been passed down for generations and you kind of suspect that they actually might have happened to somebody way back hundreds of years ago. Mm. You know, there's sad singing ghosts in the walls, there's a man who murders his brother, and then his brother just walks back out of the woods looking happy and smiling. They remind me a little bit of old murder ballads, really. So just don't read this book at night. That's what I'm saying.
Oh my gosh, but that's the point.
If you're not a wuss like me...
Yeah. You also recommend a collection by W.W. Jacobs. People may not recognize that name, but he's the author of one of the most well-known horror stories of all time. Tell us about it.
Yeah, absolutely. So The Monkey's Paw, which is the story that most people know. Most people know it, but they don't know they know it. The trope in the story, which is somebody gets three wishes and they go horribly wrong, is pretty common in fairy tales. A lot of the time it's more innocuous, you know, like some guy gets a sausage stuck to his nose, which happens in one of the versions that I've read. But in this one, Jacobs gives us this gnarly, mummified monkey's paw, and the wishes that it grants are just murderous, right? It's about an old couple, and they're hosting a friend for dinner, and he gives them the paw, and he says, by the way, don't use it, because the consequences will be terrible. And so the old couple are like, well, I bet we could wish for something that wouldn't be so bad. And the old man wishes for the most innocuous thing he can think of, which is a little bit of money to pay off the end of their mortgage. And of course, it arrives in the form of payment for the death of their son, who's just been killed in a horrible industrial accident. And it only gets worse from there. So that's The Monkey's Paw, the story. But Jacobs was actually a pretty prolific author of creepy stories. So in this particular anthology that I've recommended, there's a lot more to discover. It's not super scary, but it's good creepy fun.
Mm. Okay. You also have a manga to recommend to us. And for listeners like myself who may not be familiar with this term, what is a manga?
Sure. Yeah, there's a million kinds of manga, but broadly speaking, they are Japanese comics. They're usually intended for all ages of reader, and they're usually black and white. I just realized I've recommended a lot of like visual books, but horror can be so visual, so I feel okay about that, actually. Junji Ito is a master of horror manga, and this is Uzumaki, which is one of his most famous series. It's about a fictional Japanese town where everybody is under this weird curse that involves spirals. Like, people become obsessed with spirals, terrified, paranoid about them. They see spirals everywhere. And the spirals are so powerful that they can kill people. They can bring typhoons and earthquakes. And eventually, all of the structures in this town have melded into this one horrible big spiral of buildings. And a girl and her boyfriend they're trying to find the girl's parents who have somehow fallen victim to these spirals. And it's sort of through them that you find out what's really going on. And I just think that this is such a genius idea for a visual horror story, because also it will just make your eyes cross in the real world and make you terrified every time you see a spiral. This actually might be the most scary book on the list. It's truly horrifying.
Wow, it sounds fascinating. I really got to check it out. Okay, the last book on your list is The Ballad of Black Tom by Victor Laval. Tell us about it.
Right, so it's kind of hard to talk about horror without talking about H.P. Lovecraft, who's considered one of the really foundational authors of modern horror. But also, it's kind of hard to talk about Lovecraft without talking about what a ghastly racist he was. I mean, you know, what actually scared Lovecraft was not monsters from beyond the stars, but it was brown people, women, and Jews. So in the past few years, we've been seeing a wave of authors who are really grappling with Lovecraft's legacy. And Victor Laval is one of them. He grew up reading Lovecraft, but, you know, as a kid, he was just enjoying these stories and he didn't realize how racist Lovecraft was until he got a lot older. And one of Lovecraft's most xenophobic stories is called The Horror of Red Hook. And it's about a neighborhood in Brooklyn where, at the time Lovecraft was writing, there were a lot of immigrants living. And in the story, he famously calls them the dregs of humanity. So Laval takes this story and flips it. He sets it in Harlem in 1924. He makes the hero a young hustler who plays guitar sometimes, but mostly just wants to take care of his sick father. And then he gets involved in this seriously creepy stuff involving a magic book and a white occultist. It's a great read. It's vibrant. It's scary. It's full of blues music and this deep love of New York City. And it's a novella. So if you get too scared, it will be over soon.
And Petra, if people are looking for even more scary reads, do you have a place for them to look?
Oh boy, do I. Yeah. So every summer we run these reader polls where we ask people to nominate their favorite books in a given genre. And then we compile a list of 100 of their favorites. And a couple of years ago, we did horror. So there is a really fantastic, comprehensive list of 100 horror novels and stories that's on our website, npr.org/books. Have a look there. You'll scare yourself absolutely senseless. And hopefully you'll enjoy it.
Well, we've been talking scary reads for Halloween with Petra Mayer of NPR Books. And for all of Petra's picks, go to hereandnow.org. As always, thank you so much.
Absolutely my pleasure.